Cindy is the Director of Service Learning at Howard Community College, and we're going to learn all about service learning and, you know, what that is and how it enhances really the student perspective, the academic side of things, and in my opinion, at least, how they really work together and how you become a more wholesome, a better professional, a better person, you know, when you incorporate some sort of service into your life. So we're going to dive into all of that, and you know, we're going to learn about the opportunities available at Howard Community College. But first, we're going to get to learn a little bit about you, Cindy. I always like to open my interviews getting to know the people that I'm talking to. So if you can just share a little bit about yourself.
I've been, I guess just to start off, I've been at HCC for actually almost 5 years now. Actually almost 6 years now. You kind of start to lose track a little bit. But I've worked in higher ed for my entire career. I was at UMBC for 10 years prior to joining HCC. I live in Baltimore City with my family. I have a almost 11-year-old daughter, and I grew up in Massachusetts, but have kind of lived here now my adult life down in Maryland. So, just a little bit about who I am and kind of how I got here.
So, tell me a little bit about service and how that became a career path for yourself. How did you get involved with that? Was that just an opportunity to define at some point and you thought it's interesting, or was that something in your heart?
During my time in higher ed, it's probably always been a theme of a lot of the work that I've done. It is definitely something that during my time at UMBC, I always would be a part of those experiences with our students. I worked in residential life at the time, but coordinated a lot of the service opportunities for our students over there who lived on campus. And then as I started to kind of narrow down where I wanted to spend my time and how I wanted to be engaged, this idea of also being able to be involved in our community and help our students find a way to make an impact in our community became something that I was really kind of drawn to and interested in and wanting to stay a part of. And really at the time, the opportunity to come to HCC on a part-time position really pulled me in. At the time, family life, it just made a lot of sense, but it was also a part of our field and our world that I could really be passionate about and engaged with. Things just kind of evolved from there. And I think a lot of folks, like as you think about where you want to end up in your career and where you start, there's always, you know, different opportunities and doors and windows that open that present themselves. And I was just fortunate that this one really was not only something that I was interested in that opportunity, but that was really something that I was also going to be really passionate about and want to be a champion for.
You know, you keep mentioning the word passion, and I think that that's something that it's difficult when we are so young and we're trying to figure out what we want to do. Because we want to make a living for ourselves, right? And you know, we're looking at success and we're looking at what we define and how maybe society defines success and trying to figure out where we fall in all of that. So how do you personally define success, Cindy?
For me, I think it's probably just been about what makes me the most kind of content and happy and fulfilled. I think that's a really different conversation for everyone, right? And I think we talk about that with our students in lots of different ways as we think through how to engage them with service and how to help them explore what they're really passionate about, and kind of defining what that means for them. And so we do think, you know, service is a way to really explore some of those paths and opportunities. But for me, it's really about what is going to help me feel the most fulfilled in how I stay engaged in my work, recognize how much time we spend out of our homes and away from our families. It's something that you really want to feel at the end of the day that you're kind of, for me, that I'm making an impact, whether it be on our students or on our community.
And I love that you just said is what makes you content is what makes you happy. And I think that it's important you know, as we continue, everybody, not just students, but everybody, because we're all going through transition right now, you know, with right. COVID and everything that, that's going on around the world. It's important to, I think, kind of like check in with ourselves and just really evaluate, okay, what does success really mean to me? You mm-hmm. know, is mm-hmm. is it all the material stuff? Is it acquiring all of that? Or is it more than that? Is it really, as you were saying, doing something that makes an impact, a positive impact, and at the same time, makes me feel good, you know, like, yeah, I think yeah. that's how I define success as yep. well.
Yeah.
So what is the Center for Service Learning at Howard Community College all about?
Yeah, so we are a space that believes in collaboration between our faculty, our community partners, of which we have many, and our students to meet. We work to help meet community needs and enhance student learning, like I think you've already touched on. And so our goals are centered around identifying what needs exist within our community and maybe even a little bit beyond our community, how nonprofits work to meet those needs and even address and in some cases move to fix those needs, and then how our students can get engaged to learn about that work, learn about those experiences of our community around us, and also enhance what they're learning in the classroom. And so really it's about that collaboration. It's about working with the faculty to address and identify what they really want to achieve with the students being involved in service. It's really about connecting with our community partners to identify what they need the most to help get their work done effectively. And then it's about working with our students to figure out what and help them identify ways that they can be effective and what meeting community needs really is all about.
So what's the mission behind, you know, putting together organizations and helping and the students? What's the heart of all of that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really mostly about trying to make those connections. And so whether it be the students having an opportunity for networking or making, you know, an person-to-person connection, or even making connections back in the classroom to a piece of literature that they read or a study that they looked at or a debate that they had or a video that they watched. Maybe it's a connection around the content. And so for us, it's really about, I think, making those connections and helping them to. So for service learning experiences, we have a pre-orientation where we work with the students to really engage and identify and understand what they're going to get involved in and kind of the context of that, the experience itself, and then a reflection opportunity where we kind of go back to that orientation and we take that experience and then we take the course content and help them find ways where those connections can be made. So again, whether it's in-person connection, helping them as a class connect or connect with individuals outside of their class, or if it's, you know, the connection they make with the content of what their course material is, it's really for us, that's kind of a guiding principle, is about making those connections.
Connection, you keep saying the word connection. Why is it so important to create those connections and to really have those connections, you know, when you're preparing yourself for the future?
Right. Well, I think with this, that's where that learning really happens, right? Like that's where, especially when you think about learning across different disciplines and learning across different classes and bringing the things that you might learn in an English class into what you might be learning in a history class or a poli-sci class or even a psychology class, that all these things will start to overlap. And so helping students find ways to make those connections is how, you know, we believe they're going to become deeper thinkers, more critical thinkers, tackle the world and its problems in lots of different ways. So making those connections is where you can really also start to kind of peel back the layers and really be a part of a process and not just an observer to it and be a part of the community.
Yeah. And, you know, also figuring out because from all the conversations that I have and from everybody that I know, sometimes you have an idea of what you want to do. Sure. And then you go out in the world and you start doing something that's related to what you wanted. But as you were saying, it's through those connections and through mm-hmm. those experiences, you find that there's something else over here that's still maybe connected, or sometimes it's not connected at all, and you just find yourself fully immersed in it and just loving it and making your career from that. So one thing that I always encourage my kids is to take opportunities to go, you know, both my kids have very, and they're young, they're 16 and 13, but they both have it in their minds what they want to do and what they want to be, and that they have a plan already, right? Yep. And I'm always encouraging to them, just go out, just explore different opportunities, do something that you really think you don't like, you know, not just the things that you like, but things that you don't like.
Yeah.
Because that's really going to give you more connections. Even if you don't end up falling there in a career,
right,
you'll have a better appreciation of how other things work, and it allows you to really connect more with those
and more of a perspective too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so absolutely. So I encourage everybody to take opportunities, and you know, maybe doing service or helping others has not been something that you've put at the forefront, or you haven't tried, because it takes time, right? It takes your time, it takes effort. So it's energy, a commitment that you're doing. It takes energy. But maybe do it and see, you know, you might be surprised with what you get from it. So how does Howard Community College define service learning?
Sure. You know, I think it's really a lot of the things that we've chatted about. And it's about, again, that collaborative opportunity and a way to enhance the academic content through a really community engaged based experience. And so I think when we think about how HCC engages in it, we do it through students engaging in direct service at times where we would have a student, and we obviously aren't doing this right now, but have students out one-to-one with one partner, really doing more of a deep dive with what that nonprofit is doing to engage the community and how they're supporting issues related to that. We also do it with group experiences where the students are collaborating together around a specific issue, supporting a community partner. And then also around special projects where everything from things that they do in the classroom that then goes to the community partner to support their work, or even an event that we may host on campus to highlight and address an issue or do some advocacy work around topic that supports a community partner's efforts. And so really it's again about that collaboration and about enhancing that that academic content and providing a learning experience that might look a little bit different or non-traditional, but it's still that learning experience for the students.
So it sounds like you're relying on community organizations and community partners to really make this happen. So tell us a little bit of the type of organizations that you partner with and how that process works.
Absolutely. So we have around 90 to 100 partners at any given time, and sometimes it even gets above that. And so really a big part of our work is cultivating those relationships, doing some outreach, understanding and keeping a pulse on what is going on in the world around us, and understanding who out there is doing that work to help meet those needs of our community, address those issues, maybe push back on policy or help create policy to create a better world. And I think understanding who those community partners are is just this constant conversation. You know, the three of us in our office, I think a lot of it is just talking about what's the news of the day, what's the conversation of the day, what's the undercurrent, and then identifying who are those grassroots organizations that we can connect with. You know, we have some real tried and true partners in Columbia that we work really closely with regularly, like the Community Action Council for Howard County, who I'm sure as many people know, connect with, they have the food bank, they run a community garden. They also are the managers of Head Start and do a lot of other work around supporting those most vulnerable within our community. But we also work with things like Meals on Wheels, things that people recognize and identify, the Maryland Food Bank, And then we'll also do work around the environment with things like Patapsco Heritage Greenway, Howard EcoWorks. So we really kind of run the gamut, right? When you think about issues, we probably have a partner that touches on it in some way. And we also, whenever a topic comes up, if we don't necessarily have a partner that meets those needs right now, like that's time for us to do some research and start to do some outreach. And so a lot of what we do is having conversations with those partners. How are they meeting needs? How do volunteers help serve their organization and meet those needs? And then is that a way, is the way they use volunteers a way that helps our students learn? And so that's where the push and pull kind of comes in. And so there's some partners that do some really great work, but maybe the way their volunteers serve the community isn't going to enhance our student learning. So that's not always going to be the right fit. And so really it's about that dynamic conversation and understanding who they're serving, what they're doing, and how their volunteers are helping move their mission forward. And is that volunteerism something that's going to support our students in their learning experience? So it's about a balance. We kind of think of it as like a seesaw. And sometimes our partnerships kind of, well, maybe we'll press pause for a little while they pivot and do some other work and we'll come back to them. And so it's a constant ebb and flow. But we usually add on about 10 to like around 10 partners a year. And with that, maybe we'll kind of roll some off too.
So how is service learning different from like an internship, for instance?
Sure. I think, you know, there's a interesting conversation there. Because I think we think about that a lot. Some of it is about the amount of time spent. But really, the biggest difference is, you know, an internship, you could apply to lots of different fields and lots of different types of work. And an internship could be, you know, obviously in different like at a bank or at a some other kind of business space where you're learning like the intricacies and the ins and the outs of that work and those tasks and how to perform that job. Service learning is much more focused on meeting a community need. So understanding that a certain part of our population is living below the poverty line, struggling to put full meals on the table, getting access to equal educational opportunities for that preschool age population, like through programs like Head Start. So it's understanding how nonprofits are meeting those community needs and how we can learn more about that issue and that population through the service experience. So it's not necessarily about learning how to be a preschool teacher in a Head Start classroom. It's about learning how a Head Start program is meeting the needs of the community. And so yes, like the experience is going to take students a lot farther and they're probably gonna have skills that would aid them in being a future early childhood, early intervention teacher. But it's also the service learning experience is also about helping to identify, well, why is a program like this really so helpful for parts of our community? So it's kind of having that other lens to the conversation, whereas an internship could be really, really valuable for learning how to do the work. We think this can be really, really valuable for learning how to serve that community.
Are these opportunities for credit or are these just, you know, for personal gain, I guess?
All a part of classroom experiences. And so they are part of an assignment that faculty will have, you know, class instructors will have in the syllabi at the beginning of the semester. And so the service learning assignment is something that some faculty will choose to have as an optional piece and some will have as a requirement. Really depends on the program and the class and how it fits and meets the needs of what their learning objectives are. And so it's not necessarily for credit as much as it's for a grade. And so right now we are in a place where the majority, really probably 90-95% of the experiences that we have are within different classes. So students can get engaged by registering for that class that has a service learning piece to it and getting involved in that way. So it's not necessarily something that you can come to our office and say, I'd like to participate in service learning. It's identifying, is there a class that has a service learning option that I can get involved with? Or register.
So if you're a student at HCC and, you know, service is something that you're interested in, then you have to look for those classes.
Yes. Yeah. And we keep a running list on our website of those classes so that students can identify them. We update them whenever registration opens. And then there are markers within when students go to register in some of the course descriptions, it will lay out if there's a service learning opportunity as a part of the course experience so that they can kind of know that going in.
So things have changed, you know, with COVID-19, and I'm sure that you guys are not immune to it.
Nope. No one is.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, the opportunities that are available right now, or how you guys have had to adapt, and you know, how COVID has affected what you guys do.
So we've definitely obviously pivoted into a virtual space alongside everybody else. And, you know, we're having the same conversations a lot of other colleges are having about how do we keep our students engaged in these really, you know, amazing opportunities and help meet community needs while also finding ways to do it safely and meeting, you know, protecting our students along the way as well. And so for that, you know, for the fall, we're staying virtual as far as these service experiences go, but we're fortunate to have a really great relationship with our community partners that we're, you know, having a dialogue with them around, do they have needs that can be met virtually? We believe strongly that we don't ever want to create work for community partners. We want to be of service to community partners. And so what that means is we're, you know, just having a really direct conversation with them around how and what are their needs right now, and how could an HCC student maybe support that in a virtual way, whether it be doing things over Zoom or working on a project for them. And so we're in the phase right now where we're starting to identify those to figure out what we can do for the fall with different classes. We also have been doing, you know, for the last couple of years, we've been really focusing on what we call our special projects integrations, which are our projects where courses, classes work together around an issue in maybe more of a advocacy way. We've had projects like our Global Giving Market, which used to be it's an event that folks may have seen on campus, where you can buy fair trade goods, and our students will do some work supporting the work of Serve International, which is a large organization that supports fair trade artisans all over the world. Bring those items to campus and sell them. And so we're going to do that in a virtual way this year, still supporting the work of Serve while kind of amplifying their voice, but also allowing, you know, the HCC community to still participate in that shopping experience and purchase fair trade goods and educate around what fair trade is. So we're kind of, you know, being creative, just like everyone else, pivoting, looking at our special projects, how can we grow them and do more, and maybe take what we've done in a couple classes in smaller ways, but do them in a few more. Kind of in that space of identifying community partners right now that can benefit from this, but also looking at those projects and what can we do in an online platform that also still meets that need.
So, you know, along with COVID, there's also a big push for social justice and change right now.
Yeah.
If a student or if an organization has a need or maybe an idea and they're just not sure, you know, if it would work or not, can they reach out to you? How does that conversation happen?
So partners reach out to us often. We have a form on our website that partners can fill out if they're looking to become a community partner. And so that's something that kind of, again, ebbs and flows. Social justice and that kind of advocacy work is something that I think the online space is actually allowing us to focus on maybe a little more than we have been able to in the past. When you think about before, we were doing all this active volunteering where our students were in and out of soup kitchens or food banks or stream cleanups and things like that. Now, I think because we are in this virtual space, we're able to think about that advocacy work and take on that social justice conversation in a different way because we have the time and the space to do it. A lot of colleges have started to have that conversation, where does this social justice activism work fit within service learning? And I believe it very well, very much fits. And how can we help our students have those conversations and be change agents around these issues that we know this generation and this population is so passionate about? And so that's going to be something that we're going to be really excited to get engaged with as we move into the fall. And depending on, you know, which faculty you want to take on those kind of conversations, we're definitely excited to work with them.
Great. And I think that's important for students to know because we usually, I think, put them separate, you know, like school belongs over here, preparing myself, studying goes here, and then everything else that I want to do for changing the world goes out here.
Yes.
So yeah. It's great that we are combining the two, and we're telling our students, yeah. You know, if you feel passionate about certain issues or certain things, there is a space at Howard Community College where you can come and be part of and start making that change right now. You don't need to finish all your academics to then go and put on your other shirt, you know, and change the world. You can do it all at Howard Community College.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know that in the past you guys have had events, you know, where you've highlighted your work, mm-hmm. like the Service Learning Fair. And obviously in the fall, it's not going to happen. But I still want to highlight it because I think it's a great opportunity. And I think it's just such a great event where people can come and really get to find out everything that you guys do. So, you know, hopefully maybe in the spring we'll be able to have it again.
Right?
Right. Still pending. But tell us a little bit about what that is like and you know.
Right. Well, we have, like I mentioned, our global giving market. We are working to move as many of our events online as we can. We have another program called the Passion Project, where students will identify different movies that or documentaries that show at the Sundance Film Festival, and they'll talk about the issues that those documentaries touch on and do a deeper dive into those. And so we're going to look to have that in an online space. You know, then we do have things like our Service Learning Fair. Our Service Learning Fair is really directed at students that have a class that have a direct service option where they are going out and engaging with one community partner and one student for a certain period of time that satisfies or is a academic requirement for their class. We are only doing that with two classes this semester, so the need for a Service Learning Fair isn't there. You know, there are some spaces where Service Learning Fairs are more of a co-curricular experience where any student can show up and find ways to volunteer. That's never been what ours is. So for this year, we are going to take a bit of a hiatus from our Service Learning Fair just because we don't have the need for it to connect our students with partners. We can do that in more of a workshopped way in the classroom is what we'll end up doing. So we will still have our Be the Match event, which is a program that we work with Eve Brunson-Pitt from the Med Lab Technicians program, where there's a blood banking course where she will engage them around the idea of stem cell donation, and how folks can be involved with that and become a part of the community that is willing to donate stem cells to those who need them for treatment. So we'll still be able to do that in a virtual way. We actually did that for a bit with one of our classes for the spring. We were able to kind of do a trial run of it and it went really, really well. So we'll do that again in the fall. So we're still gonna, you know, highlight those events, just gonna be in a very different way. But I think it allows us, you know, to also have bigger exposure. You know, normally it's just the HCC community that gets to participate, but now students can share these online spaces with their friends and family too and help them kind of see what they're learning and doing. So it helps us get our message farther, if anything.
That's exciting. And I think that that's one lesson that we've all learned, you know, through these times of adjusting is that maybe tools that we weren't utilizing and we have been pushed to start using, you know, overnight pretty much, actually can enhance. And, you know, when we are able to go back to our offices, we can, I think, incorporate that. And it's going to make us much, much stronger and more efficient in many, many ways. The Alternative Break Program, that's a program that I always, every semester I see flyers, and it seems like such a great opportunity. Yeah. Is that something that you guys are able to change to online, or what's going on with that one?
You know, and in this space, what we're, our plan at the moment, we are not hosting a winter break, where normally we would send a group out in January. And at this time, you know, that's probably not in the cards. For a variety of reasons, you know, travel being one of them. We do a part of the experience that we believe strongly in is the students staying together in a space while they're you know, serving together, they're also eating together and communing together in that way. I mean, it's a big part of that experience and how they learn and grow from it. And so it's something that's going to kind of probably have to stay on the back burner for a little while. I think it's a conversation that a lot of colleges are having, and it's going to be interesting to see what new ideas come out as we think about opportunities and, you know, whether we do maybe in the spring we can do something where it's just a local alternative break opportunity where we're serving in DC or Baltimore or even in Columbia. And so looking at other options that don't involve as much travel maybe, but can still allow some engagement. And so, you know, we're fortunate that the program, in order to launch it, it does take a couple months to put together, but it's not something we have to write off right now. We can say, all right, well, January is probably not going to work, but maybe there's something we can do in the spring, or maybe we even look at having something in May before, like as semester ends, but before students really kind of take off. So we're looking at those options and kind of keeping our fingers crossed we can pull something together, but we also know it's always something that we're going to be able to come back to and students are going to be hungry for. And so we know that once we're able to do something again, we'll be really quick to launch it and get students back in the saddle.
Is this opportunity open to everybody at HEC, or do you have to be enrolled at a specific class like the other programs?
You don't have to be enrolled in a specific class. You do have to be enrolled as an HCC student. And so that could be a student that's taking a 3-credit class. That could be a student that's taking a full load of classes. What you just need to have to be able to do along with being enrolled in a class is also being able to make the commitment. And so what we ask is that students are a part of several meetings before we go where they come together as a team and really form, but also that week away where they are truly immersed and engaged in an issue and with each other. And so being able to step away isn't something that everyone's able to do, and we recognize that takes a bit of the ability to be untethered like that is really a conscious choice that people have to be able to make. But we kind of go through an orientation and we educate on that before folks apply. We do have probably between anywhere from 20 to 30 applications for each experience. And with that, we only take no more than 10 students. We believe that small group is really powerful for them to learn within. And then 2 faculty advisors go with them, or faculty and staff advisors go with them to help guide through that experience.
It sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And every semester I see it, I'm like, oh, I wish I had done that when I was a student, because serving is one of the things in my heart, you know, that I absolutely love to do.
Yeah.
So most of the opportunities are for students who are involved in the class, but I know that there's a lot of people like me who want to volunteer, who want to make a difference, who want to help. Yeah. So if somebody is like, you know, I none of the classes that are offered with the service learning piece, you know, apply to my career or anything like that, can they still come and maybe find other type of volunteer opportunities, or how can you support those students?
Right. So, you know, the first thing we do for the average student that comes in with that question, we have a wonderful relationship with the Volunteer Center for Howard County that really works as a clearinghouse for all things engaged in our neighborhood and in our community. And so that's a great space to kind of just go online and find the most relevant and recent opportunities and needs. And if a student has a really specific way they'd like to be involved or topic, and they share that with us, you know, because of how plugged in we are, I'm always happy to share, oh, you've got to reach out to this organization. They're doing really great work. I think you'd enjoy some time with them. One of the things we have done during this time at home or away from campus, because we haven't been able to engage students directly with our community partners, but our community partners probably now have more need than ever in a lot of ways, and have been going back into a way where they are able to take on volunteers. We've taken part of our website and dedicated it to a community support space where we list some community agencies that we work really closely with and believe so strongly in their work, and just finding a way to list what their needs are so that if somebody wants to check that out as a way to get involved, whether it's through Meals on Wheels or Community Action Council for Howard County or Winter Growth, which serves the needs of seniors within our community, Grassroots, which I know lots of folks are familiar with, My Sister's Place, in Baltimore City. And so we're just kind of trying to list some more urgent needs there. So if folks really want to get involved, they can find that on our website on the HCC, through the HCC site. So that's our community support page. So that's something we actually didn't have before. We were really only sending folks to the Volunteer Center for Howard County page. But now we can also point to our part of our space at the HCC site.
And you mentioned the Volunteer Center for Howard County, and that's another great opportunity. I know that I've personally used it in the past. And the beautiful thing about it is, you know, I'm always thinking in terms of kids because I have two still teenagers with me at home. And I want to make sure that they have those opportunities, that they, you know, that I provide them with opportunities, not just to have fun and to do the stuff that they like, but also mm-hmm. to get involved and to help others, because I really feel that it's so, so, so rewarding. When you haven't volunteered in some way, you think that the benefit is for the person receiving the help, when at the end of it, really, you just feel so great, you know, and I feel that you, when you have the opportunity to help, you just get so much more than the person who's actually receiving that help. At least that's my opinion and my experience. I don't know. The students maybe shared, you know, some of their experiences and some of what they felt after taking on an opportunity through service learning? Can you share maybe?
I think we hear a lot of what you were just saying. I think we also hear, or I know we also hear a lot around, just seeing things through a different lens and through a different perspective. And especially when you're talking about different issues, whether it be hunger and poverty or the environment, or even, you know, environmental justice or social justice. As you're talking about these different topics, I think learning about it through the lens of serving the community helps you see things a little bit differently. You know, we all come into all of our experiences with kind of, you know, our own backstory and our own context and how we were, you know, the lessons that we learned at home or in school or out in the world through work. And learning about these issues through the direct way of service can really help shape our perspective, maybe think a little bit differently around some of our preconceived notions or assumptions around why these challenges might exist. And, you know, doing it through service can help understand maybe why some of those roadblocks are there that might keep these issues kind of in this cyclical way continue to happen, whether it be keeping people in a certain space or a community from moving forward. And so being able to learn through service, we really think can allow that understanding. And then maybe that's gonna be the student that comes up with the real way to create change as they move forward. And so that's, you know, really, if a student has that moment where they say, you know, well, I always thought about it this way and that this was why this was happening, but by serving with my sister's place, I really saw the challenges that this community might experience day in and day out, and I understand why it's not something you can just snap our fingers and fix. That there's real work to be done here, that they stay involved and they maybe help do that work. So that's really our goal.
You know, empathy is what comes to my mind, right? Yep. And it's easy to sympathize. I think, you know, as humans, we feel for others. And we usually fall in that sympathy, right? We're like, oh, I'm so sorry. But when you're able to empathize, I think that you know, when you're able to really understand and maybe even picture yourself in that situation and just grab those obstacles, as you were saying, and those challenges and just open your mind. Right. It just makes a more powerful connection. It just makes a more powerful conversation. And it allows you to make more impact because, as you were saying, I love what you said earlier. You know, you mentioned the word lens, and it's a word that has been coming to my conversations quite a bit recently, because we all come with our own lens.
Yep.
And when we are able to expand it through service, through conversations, through experiences,
right?
You know, we're making our lens bigger and bigger and bigger. And judgment kind of like mutes itself a little bit, you know, and I think it's really important if we want to create true change. It's really, really important to try to connect, as I said earlier, not only with like-minded people, but also And very, very importantly, with those who disagree with us or those who maybe we disagree with, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
So, you know, in your personal life, you know, through your job here at Howard Community College, what has been the most rewarding thing for you?
Oh, man. You know, I think some of it really, as we form our relationships with these community partners and find ways to support our student learning, those conversations, I think, are some of our, some of the best for me. You know, it's obviously I take students out. We'll go when these classes go out in groups. Someone from our office is always there to participate in the service alongside them and help facilitate those conversations and make those connections. But I think as we're in that space, when we're in that space, we're really talking with the partner about the work they're doing, how they are kind of serving as that change agent and pushing those conversations forward and how they could potentially help our students be a part of that conversation. I think that's where the energy really comes from and where the ideas come from. You know, some of the partnerships that we've built during my time in the office around our work with Blue Water Baltimore and the Baltimore Tool Bank, the work that we continue to do with the CAC for Howard County, that the relationships that we formed with those partners to think differently about how our students can be involved in their work that helps enhance the students' learning and not just showing up, volunteering, and going home. Those have been some of our favorite conversations to be able to have because I think that's where all the good ideas end up coming from. And so I would say that's probably the space that I've really been the most excited about the work that we do.
And I appreciate what you just said because you're right. It's easy to block a couple of hours, go right. and do some physical work, help clean this and the other, and then not think anymore right. about it, right?
Yep.
But that extra piece of actually, you know, really analyzing it and really internalizing it and really, you know, understand that every action or every minute spent doing whatever it is that you're doing, mm-hmm. is not only impacting you, it's impacting other people, and it's also helping you farther your career, quite honestly.
Right.
So what are the best ways that people can get in touch with you right now, especially now that it's not like I can tell them go to office, blah blah blah. Not yet.
Is to shoot us a message at servicelearning at howardcc.edu. That's just our office email that we check regularly, and then we can kind of point folks in the right direction from there, depending on what their question is. And so that's kind of the general space to reach out to the easiest. Obviously, we're on Facebook. We're also on Instagram. But that email, servicelearning@howardcc.edu, is probably the quickest, easiest way in this space that we're working in right now.
And then if they want to see, you know, or follow you on Facebook and Instagram, let's give them those handles.
Yeah. So Facebook, we are Center for Service Learning at HCC, and our Instagram, pardon me while I quickly look at my phone because I'm going to mess it up.
I know, too many handles to remember now.
Service Learning HCC.
Yeah. So you have three ways, at least very clear ways to connect with Service Learning. If you go to howardcc.edu, you just search there for Service Learning. Yep. I lied, it's four. You have the email as well. Then you have Facebook and Instagram, and you can be part of, you know, not just learning academics, but taking your learning experience farther and just really, really serving others and helping others and just like we were talking about, expanding that lens for yourself as you move forward with your career.
Absolutely.
Cindy, is there anything else that you would like to add before we wrap our conversation up today?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground, but I do appreciate this opportunity to be able to talk a little bit about our work and how we are kind of functioning in this virtual space and hopefully in some ways also thriving. But thank you very much for the chance to chat.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.
We need you to continue wearing masks, physically distancing, washing hands, and getting tested. But the stress from COVID-19 also impacts our mental health. Many of us are struggling, feeling isolated and alone. Please check in on a neighbor and lend a helping hand. If you or someone you know needs food, help paying rent, or just someone to talk to, visit our website today. Together, we will beat COVID.